Hey, guess what's happening on this week's episode of the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast with your friend and host, Oscar Camejo.
Have you ever wondered why it seems so difficult to manage your weight and control your blood sugar levels, especially if you're a type 2 diabetic? You know, even when you're trying to make every effort to eat healthy, exercise, and do all the quote-unquote right things you know to do. Well, today's episode is all about tackling an annoying habit that might be sabotaging your progress. I'm talking about grazing. You know, grazing, that mindlessly eating and sporadically snacking habit that a lot of us deal with. You know, some people don't even realize that grazing may be a big reason why they've put on those extra pounds in what seems like overnight. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about understanding what grazing is and its impact on weight management and blood sugar levels. I'm going to share with you some practical strategies for breaking the habit of grazing and becoming a more conscious eater. I'm going to share with you insight into my personal journey and the things that I did to help me lose over 80 pounds and keep it off, folks. I got off medications completely, and I was able to reverse type 2 diabetes by making some lifestyle changes that I'm proud of. I'm going to share with you some tips for mindful eating and recognizing hunger cues and knowing, you know, when is the best time to eat and when I shouldn't be eating, and maybe being more conscious of the things that I'm doing to sabotage my own progress. I'm going to share with you some tips for being a mindful eater and recognizing hunger cues. I'm going to share with you the importance of structured meals and meal planning. It is a whole bunch of things that we're going to talk about. What about snack substitution ideas to make healthier choices and satisfy those cravings that you may be dealing with? Yeah, it's going to be good. So stick around to hear the rest of today's episode. It's going to be a good one. Let's go. Be sure to visit the website at www.beatingdiabeteslifestyle.com for access to free resources and other information that will help you along your journey. If you would like to submit a question or a comment about the show or to learn more about the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle, you can always email me at hello@beatingdiabeteslifestyle.com. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Welcome to the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Oscar Camejo. My goal is to help diabetics and non-diabetics make lifestyle changes to reverse type 2 diabetes. Thank you so much for joining me this week. This is going to be a great episode. I mean, listen, folks, you found this podcast, and I'm so grateful that you found it, or maybe you heard about it somehow. Whether it's through a friend, a family member, or whatnot, I'm so grateful that you're here. You know what? This podcast is now listened to in over 42 countries, folks. And it's only been 2 years since I started this podcast. Not even 2 years yet. So I just want to thank you again for tuning in. And let me share this with you. Guess what? WebMD reached out to me for me to join their team of guest writers. That's right. I am now a guest writer for WebMD. So stay tuned to hear more information about that in the near future. If you are into getting articles and practical tips, not only through the podcast, but maybe through online researching and so forth, I got some great information that I'm going to be sharing through WebMD as well. So again, thank you. And I also want to give a shout out to all of my followers who send in comments, and I really, really appreciate it big time. So I wanted to read to you all a couple of comments and messages that came in from a few followers. This one is from Mr. Ben Gallegos. He wrote, just came across your video. He's talking about a video that I posted on TikTok not too long ago. He said, just came across your video. Amazing. We all need to hear this. People need help. Well, thanks, Ben. I appreciate your comment and thanks for visiting. the website and the TikTok channel and just being a faithful listener. I really appreciate that. And also, here's a message that came in from Kelly. Kelly said, I needed to hear this. I've been crying every day since finding out about diabetes. I'm willing to fight. Well, you go for it, Kelly. I got your back. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you're finding value in the content that I share. So stick with me. I have a lot that I'm going to share with the Kellys of the world and the Bens of the world. I really appreciate you guys. So let's move on. You know, from time to time, I share my story because I think it's very important for me to let you all know that, hey, I am a guy who used to be 268 pounds. I don't have a formal education when it comes to diabetes, and I didn't go to college for, you know, a medicine. I didn't do any of that stuff. I am a guy who was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in August 2020. And it was a scary situation because I ended up in the hospital and I almost died, folks. And I learned a lot about a diabetes after that. I learned a lot about, you know, not only managing it, but also the possibility of reversing it. And I put things into practice in my own life. And sure enough, folks, I was able to not only get off medications, you know, I was on high blood meds, high cholesterol meds. I was taking insulin shots for type 2 diabetes, and I was taking, metformin. And eventually my doctor weaned me off of all meds once my health started to improve. And to be honest, folks, I did the practical things that were necessary to reverse my condition. And it took a lot of learning. It took a lot of studying, you know, talking with professionals and just really becoming a student of nutrition and applying the things that I learned about nutrition, the things that we put in our bodies, as well as physical fitness, basically becoming my own personal trainer and just learning. So, you know, before we dive into this, I wanted to share my story, man, because I know, like many of you who are listening, you're struggling with the news probably of being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. You're struggling with your weight. You are not the size that you once were, and you want to get down to a healthy weight, as they say. You know, like me, you probably are caught up in the cycle of overeating. And it just seems like, man, you're just mindlessly snacking all day on whatever's within reach and so forth. And it's just a struggle. Listen, folks, I've been there. That's why I am so committed to helping people turn their lives around. And I wanted this episode to really deal with an issue that a lot of people deal with, and that's overeating and snacking all day long, not even thinking about it. And it's just almost like being in automatic mode and just constantly eating, not really knowing what we're putting in our body in terms of whether it's healthy or not. All we know is, hey, I'm just eating to survive because I got to keep my energy up and so forth. You know, grazing was a habit that seemed harmless to me at first, you know, but it took a toll on my health, you know. But guess what? I was determined to turn things around. And so I started this mission to lose weight and reverse type 2 diabetes. And it wasn't until I just started deep diving into nutrition, specifically nutrition for diabetics, that I learned the importance of losing weight. And yeah, of course, back in my mind, I was like, okay, well, I know I need to stop eating sweets and cut back on bread and stuff like that, but it was more to it than that. So through trial and error, folks, I discovered the importance of breaking the grazing habit. You know, I was constantly just eating all times of day, whether it's at work or at a home if I was working on a project and just kind of in a zone. And there was a bunch of food in the house, like snack food, junk food that I just kept eating and eating and eating because, you know, I always felt hungry. I was hungry all the time. You know, that may be a situation that you're dealing with. You may feel hungry all the time and you're like, man, I just had something to eat like 30 minutes ago. Why am I still hungry? So, you know, it's something that we've all dealt with, you know, and my heart goes out to you. But I'm glad that you tuned in and you found this podcast because there's a lot that we're going to talk about. So let's move on. You know, when I was able to shed over 80 pounds, it didn't happen overnight. And getting off meds did not happen overnight. Reversing type 2 diabetes did not happen overnight. But gradually, as I began to implement, I can't stress that enough. The more I began to implement the things that I learned, the more I started seeing changes. And the more changes that I saw, there were small changes now. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like things just happened overnight. No, it was, you know, a pound here, a half a pound there. And sometimes my weight would go up and I was like, oh man, what's going on here? And then it was a time where I reached a plateau and I had to make some adjustments where that's concerned. So I want to now help you to understand what grazing is and what it's not. So what exactly is grazing? Grazing refers to the habit of eating small, frequent snacks or meals throughout the day, rather than having a structured, balanced meal at specific times. You know, it's often a mindless munching that people do, you know, where we eat without paying attention, even the portion sizes or even what's in the food, you know, constantly snacking on chips and cookies or whatever's in the house, right? You know, grazing can occur when we're bored, when we're stressed out. It could be a response to something going on in our life and we are dealing with emotional eating. Or simply, we keep snacking and grazing out of habit. You know, for many of you who may be working from home and you're at home, you're in front of a computer 8-10 hours a day and you have some snacks next to you, and whether it's popcorn or chips, cookies, and you're just thinking, okay, I got to keep, you know, myself busy. And without even thinking, you're constantly reaching for a snack. And on top of that, you could be drinking some sodas, some fruit juices or lemonade, sweet teas or whatever, something that's sugary. It could be, I don't know, an energy drink, a sports drink, just to keep yourself going. And you're constantly eating and grazing, you know. But maybe you're not working from home. Maybe you're just, let's say you're grazing while you're on social media. You could be watching television. You could be at the office at work and just constantly grazing and constantly eating and not even knowing it. Let me ask you a question. For those of you who either work from home or you're in the office and you know that you're snacking often, how many trips have you made to the refrigerator or the cupboard or to the vending machine at work, let's say yesterday or even last week? Are you conscious of it or do you know how often you're doing it? You know, some people even graze when they're playing video games. You know, you could be at a social event with your friends. You know, you could be at a cookout or at a party. And there's food everywhere, right? And so you dip a couple times in the cookie jar, if you will, or the pastries that are there, or, you know, you wanted to just eat one hot dog or one hamburger, but you find yourself eating two and three and making multiple trips, you know, at the party, and you're not even realizing it. Or let's say you go grocery shopping. And this is a big thing I dealt with. You know, you go to the grocery store and you're in the checkout line, and to your left and right, there's snacks. There's chips, there's sodas, There's candy. There's a chocolate. There's the gummy bears. There's the gum. And a whole bunch of other things. And so what do? You go and pick up your favorite candy bar or your favorite sweet. And you don't even think about it. It's out of habit. And before you know it, before you even get to the car, that was me. I used to get either like a Hershey's, you know, candy bar, Snickers, or what's those things in the green? Oh, Reese's peanut butter cups. Man, I used to devour those before I even got to the car. I used to get like a 4-pack. And I would consume at least two. Consume is a nice word. I used to knock down at least two Reese's peanut butter cups before I got to the car, you know, regardless of where I parked in the parking lot. So, and not even think about it. So that mindless eating that we do can sometimes, if we're not mindful, it can impact our weight and weight management. So the problem with grazing is that it can lead to consuming more food and more calories than we realize. You see, when we graze, we're more likely to reach for unhealthy processed snacks that are high in sugar, unhealthy fats, and are loaded with a bunch of empty calories. Calories that are no good for you, that have no nutritional value. This not only hampers and slows down our weight management efforts, but also it can make things worse, especially for those who are faced with diabetes. You know, grazing can prevent our bodies from entering that state of fasting, which, you know, is said to be essential for optimizing blood sugar levels. You know, when we're consuming so much food constantly, our insulin levels remain elevated, making it harder for our bodies to burn stored fat and regulate blood sugar effectively. It's something that we deal with when we are grazing. You know, think about it. If you're constantly eating snacks, constantly eating a sandwich, you know, every 30 minutes or eating popcorn, especially the flavored popcorn, it tastes good. But there's an up and down roller coaster that we're on when it comes to blood sugar. And if you're diabetic or maybe you have pre-diabetes or you're concerned about developing type 2 diabetes, regulating your blood sugar effectively is very important. And in order to do that, we're going to really have to pay attention to what we're putting in our bodies on a regular basis. Now, let me say this about grazing. There's different camps when it comes to grazing. Some people will say, hey, you know, don't graze at all. Just eat three meals a day and that's it. Or they may say on the other side, in the other camp, they may say, well, with grazing, it's good to eat six meals a day. And just as long as you're eating because you want to increase your metabolism. Maybe you've heard that before. I've heard that before. And so the balance to that is, okay, you're trying to increase your metabolism, but what are you eating? What are you putting in your body? I mean, I was mindlessly eating just six snacks a day, you know what I mean? At some point. And it actually backfired on me because I was eating more than I should have, and I was putting unhealthy things in my body, the highly processed foods, the high sugary foods. You know, thinking that I was doing a good thing by eating more. And folks, when it comes to breaking the grazing habit, we have to understand what it is, like I said, and its impact. So let's discuss some practical strategies to break this habit and become more conscious eaters. Okay, number one, I'm going to give these to you in order and then I'll break them down. Number one, I want you to be a mindful eater. Number two, I want you to start structuring your meals. Number three, consider meal planning. Number four, control your portions or portion control. Number five, implement snack substitutions. Number six, drink water, lots of water. Hey, now let me go through these six. And of course, there's different strategies. There's more that we can implement, but these are some basic things that you want to have in your arsenal as a resource and tools to help you to break the grazing habit. Now, mindful eating. The first step is to develop a mindful eating practice. Basically, I want you to start paying attention to your body and knowing when your body is actually hungry for food and when it's actually satisfied, and paying attention to what's called satiety signals. You know, before you reach for a snack, those chips, those cookies, whether it's at night or in the middle of the day, I want you to ask yourself if you're really hungry. Am I hungry? Am I really, really hungry? Or am I just reaching for these cookies or chips or even mixed nuts because they're convenient and they're right then and there? I mean, right near me. You know, is there something that may be triggering you to eat more? Are you dealing with something and you're just constantly just eating so you can feel that comfort of food at that time? Just kind of think about that. You know, earlier I had asked you, are you aware of how many times you make a trip to the refrigerator or the cupboard, the pantry, whether you're at home? And if you're at work, how many times do you hit up the vending machine? You know, really pay attention to that. Because you know what? Sometimes our body isn't actually hungry, but we mistake sometimes what we think is a hunger pang. We make the mistake of saying, okay, well, let me go ahead and give my body something to eat. And sometimes the only thing that you have at arm's length are those chips and cookies, the breads, you know, the Cheetos that you have hidden in your desk somewhere, or what you may be doing. You know, I'm being facetious, but I don't want you to feel bad if you are hiding snacks and you're grazing all the time. It's a habit that a lot of people deal with. You're not alone. So being more conscious of what you're eating, being more mindful of when you're eating. Number two, structured meals. It's important, and some people implement this strategy. They establish regular meal times with balanced, nutrient-dense meals. You know what? This will help you to create a structured eating pattern and reduce the urge to graze. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me give you an example of structured eating that I have. Let's say on a normal week where I'm not doing intermittent fasting or anything of that nature, but just a regular week, or let me give you a regular day. You know, in the morning, I get up and I make a smoothie. I make a homemade smoothie. You know, I have some protein that I put in there. I put either Swiss chard or spinach in it as my green leafy vegetable. You know, I may put some blueberries in it. I do some ginger. Sometimes I may do a banana. I do some flax seeds, some chai seeds. So basically, I'll start the day off with a liquid instead of doing, let's say, making eggs, because I'm, you know, sometimes I'm in a rush trying to get out the door and I want something that's going to be satisfying. So I'll make a homemade smoothie that is very filling. And that's pretty much all that I'll eat. So that's for breakfast. And then let's say by 10:30, I'll have a snack. And now let me back up, because I'm going to get into meal planning in a second. But my structured plan involves me preparing my meals ahead of time. So I know, let's say around 10:30, maybe 11 o'clock, I'm going to have a snack. And usually that's some mixed nuts that I have unsalted. I like the unsalted kind mostly. So I have the mixed nuts and let's say a piece of fruit. And that's it for that mid-morning snack around 10:30 or 11 o'clock. Then let's say around lunchtime is when I'll have either a lunch that I've pre-made at home, or I'll go somewhere that I know serves healthy foods. You know, I usually do a big salad, and sometimes I may have a meat on it, maybe not, but I'll do a big salad, let's say, during my lunch. So again, that's 12 o'clock. Remember, we're talking about structured eating. And then let's say mid-afternoon around 2:30, 3 o'clock or so, I have another snack. And usually that'll be like a banana and another piece of fruit. Let's say if I have some celery or some cucumbers as well, I'll eat some of that because I know in the afternoon for me, I'm going into the gym. There are times where, let's say, I've made a peanut butter sandwich using like Ezekiel bread, where because, you know, I know that, okay, I'm going to go and do a very intense workout. So I may go and make a sandwich, you know, along with the or have a sandwich along with the banana and so forth. And then later on for dinner is when I'll have my my dinner. You know, I don't do a lot of carbs, you know, bread, pasta, rice, or potatoes. I don't do that at all. But, you know, by me maintaining that structured meal pattern, I'm able to control what I'm putting in my body. So I'm not eating snacks like chips and cookies and crackers, you know, in between all of that. I'm eating at those specific time frames, if you will, because it's going to help me to not only lose weight, but it helps me to reduce the urge to graze. So meal planning, number three, you know, it's important. And some people would like to do this. It's easy to do. Some people may find it difficult, but I want you to consider meal planning. You know, plan your meals and snacks in advance. You know, if you have to prepare the night before or a couple of days in advance, so that'll give you enough time to prepare the meals and you know exactly what you're going to have, do that. You know, it's going to help you to ensure that you're eating well-balanced and nutritious foods. You know, having a variety of whole foods and so forth, you know, having healthy options readily available makes it easier, folks. I'm telling you. It's going to make it easy for you to resist the temptation to graze on unhealthy snacks. So just think about that. Number four, portion control. This is really big. You know, you want to be mindful of your portion sizes and aim for appropriate portions at each meal. Don't, you know, load your plate with a whole bunch of food, even if you are eating breakfast in the morning. You know, you don't need 4 and 5 eggs, folks. You don't need a bunch of bacon. You don't need a bunch of bread, you know, so you can quote unquote feel full for the rest of the day. Because to be honest, if you're packing yourself with high carbs in the morning, I guarantee you 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes later, you're feeling hungry again. So just kind of think about that. Some people like to use smaller plates and bowls to visually trick themselves into thinking they're eating more, but in fact, you're actually controlling your portion sizes. Another thing, here's number five, snack substitutions. Now, this is big. I'm really big on cleaning house when you're trying to eat clean, if you will. Folks, I went cold turkey when it came to certain things. I mean, I came home one day and I was like, you know what? Enough is enough. I am getting rid of all of this food that are snacks like cookies, chips. I just stopped buying the stuff, man. I poured all the soda down the drain. I got rid of everything that was high sugary, you know, that were high in saturated fat. I mean, again, like the chips, the cookies, the breads, man, I got rid of all that stuff. I threw out the pastas. I threw out everything. I wanted to have a fresh, clean slate. So snack substitutions, and we're still on number five here. You know, if you find yourself reaching for snacks out of habit when you're at home, you know, again, watching TV or you're working from home, I want you to try substituting those unhealthy snacks for healthier alternatives, like fresh fruit. I mean, fresh whole fruits, not the processed fruit things, if you will. I want you to go for raw vegetables. Think of even having a handful of nuts, you know, the mixed nuts, like I mentioned before. You know, these options are nutrient rich options. You want to have more fiber in your diet from whole foods, from real foods, folks. I think sometimes we get away from and have gotten away from eating real foods. And it's really important for us to make sure that we are giving our bodies what it needs, not what it craves. So, you know, I used to have a habit every night of reaching for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or Pop-Tarts at night. And I wanted to just, you know, have something sweet every night. It could have been a piece of cake. It could have been anything after dinner. That was just a habit. And just mindlessly eating processed foods without even thinking about it. And so what I did was I was like, okay, I know I have a sweet tooth. I got rid of all the candy, the chips and stuff like that, but I still have these cravings. So what I started to do was, and this was a little biohack for me, if you will, I started buying green apples. You know, I like green apples. I like red apples too, but I was like, okay, let me try this out. Every time that I had a craving for something at night after dinner, because I didn't have the chips and the cookies or even ice cream at home, what I did was just reach for an apple. And yeah, at first the apple didn't satisfy me right away. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to get two apples. And sometimes I would get three apples, but I was determined that I'm not going to leave this house and go down the street to go find something sweet. I used to do that back in the day. That was wild, ridiculous. So I want you to consider reaching for something that's whole, that is wholesome, like fresh fruit and you know, some raw vegetables like celery and stuff like that. And I already know, I could hear some of y'all saying, man, but that's boring. I'm so used to getting something sweet. I know. And I want you to break that habit. So again, these options are going to help you out, folks. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to body shame you. I'm not here to, you know, make it difficult for you, but I want you to make it easier for yourself. So clean house, like I said, with number five, get some healthier options and those snack substitutions, make them healthy options. And, you know, in a future episode, maybe I'll deal with some specific snack substitutions, but you get my point. Now, last but not least, number six, you know, water and drinking lots of water makes a big difference. I actually have an entire episode on drinking water and the benefits of it. You know, water in general, not only is it hydrating and your body needs water to survive, but it also can help you to curb hunger. You know, a lot of times when you wake up in the middle of the night and you feel hungry, well, it could be that your body just needs more hydration. And there's something about water that God did with water. It has this way of making you feel full or helping to curb hunger. So one thing that I do is I keep water by my nightstand when I go to bed, literally without fail. So if I get up in the middle of the night, the water's there. So I reach for the water. And 9 times out of 10, folks, that hunger pang is gone after I drink the water. And so I want you to employ that trick, you know, that hack, if you will. Drink more water. And you definitely want to be drinking more water throughout the day anyway to keep yourself hydrated. But if you're at work or you're working from home, I want you to keep water at your desk. I want you to keep water next to you in the car when you're driving. I want you to always have water with you. Now, I know some of you all are like, oh my gosh, water is so boring. It has no taste. Hey, I love water now, but there was a time where I hated the taste of water because it had no taste. So, you know, I used to add sugar to water to give it some taste. And I was like, I'm defeating the purpose here. You know, I'm defeating my efforts here. So I started a while ago adding, you know, either some fruit, you know, to add some actual whole fruits cut up to the water to give it some flavor. I mean, there's times where I've done lemon. I still do that, lemon or lime or both, just to give it some flavor. Now, folks, I love water. I'm always drinking water. My body loves water. As a matter of fact, while I'm recording this podcast, guess what's to my left? Some water. That's right. So you get my point, okay? So just remember those things. They will help you to break the habit of grazing. It's not going to happen overnight, folks. And remember, breaking the grazing habit is going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take consistency. It's going to take that stick-to-itness in order for you to get results. But I will tell you this, if you stick with it, if you make the effort, you are going to see results, and the results are going to be worth it. You know, by becoming more conscious of the things that we're eating and when we're eating and our eating habits, we both can control our health and effectively manage our weight. You know, I hope you found today's episode insightful and very practical. I want you to join me each week because I'm always sharing inspirational stories and tips to empower you on your journey towards good health, especially if you're dealing with type 2 diabetes and you want to send it into remission, folks. So, as always, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about where you are today. But more importantly, think about where you want to be. I always want you to think about where you are and where you want to be, where you're wanting to go when it comes to your health. Do you want to be on medications for the rest of your life? Hopefully not. Do you want to be overweight for the rest of your life? No, hopefully not. So I want you to keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on the prize. Because you know what? I know what, there are times where you want to give up, you want to cave in, you want to quit, and you're like, man, this stuff is just too hard. It's just too difficult. Listen, folks, I've been there, done that. And one day I'm going to write a book about it. Stay tuned. So, but I want you to be encouraged, okay? So next episode, we're going to delve more into developing a lifestyle that's sustainable so that you can achieve and live a healthy lifestyle free of diabetes, folks, because it can be done. So until next time, and as always, stay focused, keep moving, never go back, leap forward, bounce back because you can, my friend. And above all else, trust God. You got this. I believe in you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast with Oscar Camejo. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for motivational and educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care by a physician or other healthcare professional or qualified fitness instructor. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or professional advice or services. If you're looking for help on your journey, seek a qualified medical practitioner. It's important that you utilize someone who is a trained, licensed healthcare professional who can help you on your journey toward good health.